Genealogy by Tim, Season 4, Episode 10, recorded October 27th, 2024. It's been another month of virtually no new research, but I've made some advancements with my laptop giveaway challenge. I'll tell you all about that, and then I'll read some events from the On This Day page of my website. That's coming up on Genealogy by Tim. I posed a question in last month's podcast. How cheaply could I purchase a laptop computer, fill it with genealogy, and give it away? And a couple reasons for doing this. First of all, to share my research, get it out there among family members, and also to create backups of my data. Heaven forbid something either happens to my apartment or happens to me. How could my years of research be accessed by others? And it's one thing to put all the data on a USB drive and hand it to somebody, but if they don't have family tree software set up like mine, they may have difficulty getting everything loaded up and viewable the way I have created it. So my thought is to take the guesswork out of it, preload a computer with the data and the genealogy software, and hand those computers out to family members. I looked online for the cheapest new computers that could do what I needed to do, which is basically boot into an operating system, load the family tree in the family tree software, display image files, PDFs, occasional audio and video files. The computer does not even really need to get online, although that may be useful. The cheapest computer I found online, new computer that could do this, was the Raspberry Pi 400, which is a single board computer built into a specially designed keyboard, and that keyboard could be plugged into an external monitor using a HDMI cable. These computers run about $70 a piece, but they have the drawback of not having that monitor, not being able to plop it in your lap, turn it on, and see what's there. You have to go fumbling for an HDMI cable. You got to go reach around the back of your television. So I decided not to go that route. I decided to go with the used Chromebook route. And these could actually be had quite cheap through eBay. And the model I settled on was the Lenovo N23 Chromebook. There is a seller on eBay, John, 8675309, TML, who is apparently refurbishing these slightly older machines, removing the stock Chrome OS software and replacing it with Linux, which is the operating system I use and which works best with my genealogy software, which is the Gramps genealogy software. My sources say that this laptop was first issued around 2017. I believe it was intended for the education market, so these likely would have been either in classrooms or issued to students in schools. And I can read a little bit from the description from the seller here. Discover the potential of the Chromebook N23, enhanced with a 4GB RAM and 16GB MMC storage, perfect for both everyday tasks and educational purposes. Originally running Chrome OS, this device's official support has ended, but it's been given a new lease on life. Whether for personal use, education, or development, the Chromebook N23 offers an adaptable platform to fit your needs. Don't miss out on this opportunity to own a versatile and upgradable device. I was able to get the device with Debian Linux pre-installed, and I had to do some tinkering with it, including changing the username, changing the host name. These machines also had an issue with the sources list file, which is used to update the computer, so I had to pull a working sources list file from another Debian machine I had. And for that reason, I can't full-throatedly recommend this method to everyone, the method of buying a used Chromebook with Linux installed, because Linux is not the native operating system for these machines, so you may run into some hiccups. But for someone like me, who's been a Linux user for 18 or so years now, and I was able to spot the adjustments I needed to make, and the computer works fine. And now for the good part, this seller, Mr. John, 8675309TML, is selling these for $18 a piece if you buy one, and then there's discounts for buying several. And I bought four, so for me they were $14 each. Now, shipping on these is $14.38, so I ended up buying four of these computers at $30 a piece. Now, they are not quite ready to receive all of my genealogy data. As I believe I mentioned last month, I have roughly 60 gigabytes of information, and this computer's internal storage holds 16 gigabytes of information. So I ordered a pack of five SanDisk 128 UltraFit USB 3.1 flash drives for $50. These are very small thumb drives that hopefully will fit almost flush. Once you put the drive in the USB port, they should fit almost flush with a little bump on the side of the machine. And the flash drive will hold all the data. And the computer, after I get it all set up, should boot automatically, load the data into the family tree, and display the family tree right away, right upon hitting the power button. So all told, I spent about $120 on the computers, $50 on the flash drives. So we're talking about $170 for four computers. If you divide 170 by four ways, you get about $42.50 per computer. And that beats the Raspberry Pi 400 by about $30 or so. And I get an extra fifth SanDisk 128GB flash drive to boot. According to Amazon.com, these flash drives arrive on Wednesday. I've gotten one of my computers all set up and ready to receive the data. I've got to work on the other three. But it's kind of amazing how cheaply you can get a computer up and running my genealogy software. I can remember back in the 90s, the first time I ever saw in print the word gigabyte in a Daymark catalog. It used to be your hard drive would be 256 megabyte, or if you were getting up there in extravagance, you would have a 512 megabyte hard drive. And I remember the first time I saw in a catalog a 1 gigabyte hard drive, and I was like, wow, that is extravagant. Oh, and that computer was like well into the four figures back in the 90s. Now, I drop $50 and I can get a 5 count 128 gigabyte flash drives that can fit in the palm of my hand. So, yeah, it's pretty amazing. And the idea is to have these four computers fully loaded with my genealogy software in a passwordless form. So I kind of want this to be almost like giving books out. Like with a book, you don't need a password to get into a book. You just open it and start reading. And I want these computers to operate the same way. No password necessary, just open it and start reading. One family member can hand it off to another without having to sign into a Google account or anything like that. And the hope is that I have these ready by the end of the year, where they can be given out as Christmas presents. So I'll keep you updated on that. The next step is to receive these flash drives in the mail on Wednesday and then get started with the transfers. Got a little bit of extra time to kill this month, and I will spend it doing something I should probably do more often, and that is visit my website, the Graham Amflick Family Tree, and read off some of the on this day and upcoming events of relatives that I recognize in the lists. Today is October 27th. This is being recorded on October 27th, 2024. And on the front page of my site, I see Anna Anflick and Harry McGill celebrating a 112th wedding anniversary. They were married October 27th, 1912. Anna Anflick is the younger sister of my great-grandfather, Henry Anflick. So happy anniversary to Harry and Anna, Harry McGill and Anna Anflick. Also occurring on this date 42 years ago, October 27, 1982, the death of my grandfather's Aunt Helen Corr. Helen Corr was born on August 12, 1892 and died October 27, 1982 at the age of 90. Occurring tomorrow, October 28th, the 86th birthday of Kay Anflick, who passed away relatively recently. Well, 2014. I say relatively recently, it was actually 10 years ago. Hard to believe. Kay Anflick was among the first of the West Coast Anflicks that I reached out to by telephone. And I remember her being very nice to me on the phone. She was born October 28th, 1938. So happy birthday, Kay. Susan Agnes Smith was among the subjects of my research in Boston over the summer. She was born on April 23rd, 1872, and died October 28th, 1927. 97 years ago today was the date of her death. Ralph Klein Jr., a store owner in the Marietta area of Lancaster, was born February 23rd, 1907, and died October 28th, 1973, at the age of 66. We are remembering Ralph Klein Jr. of Marietta today. Happy 142nd wedding anniversary to George F. McCormick and Catherine A. Tierney. They were married October 29th, 1882. Catherine Tierney was a sister of Maria Tierney, the mother of my great-great-grandfather, William Smith, and Susan Agnes Smith, who I mentioned just a moment ago. Catherine A. Tierney, aunt of Susan Agnes Smith. She and George F. McCormick married on the 29th of October, 1882, and Susanna Allen was born 209 years ago, October 29th, 1815. Susanna Allen was an older sister of Sarah Allen. Sarah Allen married Joseph Atwood. Their daughter, Harriet Atwood, married William Pickersgill shortly after the Civil War in the 1860s. So she's on the Harrison side of things. Susanna Allen married Henry Wetton, and they lived in Elizabeth, Union County, northern New Jersey. Susanna Allen, born 209 years ago, October 29th, 1815. And coming around to Halloween, October 31st, we remember Ruth Anflick, daughter of Charles Anflick and Yetta Torin, who passed away 32 years ago, Halloween, October 31st, 1992. But also the 150th birthday of Herman Pollack. He was born October 31st, 1874. He was a German immigrant who married Harriet Harrison, who was an aunt of my great-grandfather, Pud Harrison, William Pickersgill Harrison III. I did a spotlight on the Pollacks because when Harriet Harrison married Herman Pollack, she lost her American citizenship. And I'm still not entirely clear on whether she ever got that back. But Herman Pollack, born 150 years ago this Halloween, October 31st, 1874. And I could keep going, but I think that'll do for this month. Next month on the podcast, hopefully I will have those computers all set up and ready to go. And possibly there may be some news on those long-standing applications to the First Families Lineage Society of the Genealogical Society of Pennsylvania. One of those is almost close to completion. So if I have an update on that, you will hear about it next month. Until then, keep on digging. Your next family history adventure awaits. Mm-hmm.